We started off your week with a look back at Miami's biggest game of the season so far, an overtime win over the Celtics, and which performances stood out. Plus, did the win over Boston show Miami doesn't need a big trade in the future? Do the Heat have a big four to carry them through this season? We answer that and more on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. A packed show today, a ton to get to, including where the Heat are now that they are mostly healthy, the latest on Victor Oladipo, and some trade rumors percolating. But let's start with credit cookies. Four credit cookies to Jimmy Butler, two to Tyler Hero, two to Bam Adebayo, two to Kyle Lowry after Friday's big win in Boston. David, are things looking up for the Heat now that they have their, as Eric Spoelstra calls it, their big four back together?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was a little concerned to see Miami's bench struggle so much. Guys that had been stepping up periodically throughout the start of the season, and then they all struggled with their shooting. They weren't very impactful, but I guess on a night when you have the big four clicking in place and everything is going so well for them, it doesn't really matter. It does seem like a bit of a turnaround. I think there was the strong effort against Boston that first game on Wednesday. Then they come back with Jimmy Butler after missing eight games, and he's flawless. Like, he's as good as ever. It didn't look like there was any rush there at all. Just as we had talked about before that game itself, I said that it was going to be a seamless integration of Jimmy's talents, and certainly that was the case. And in fact, he carried them to a win in the overtime period. So a dominant performance from them. It's good to have them all back. I'd like to see it a little bit more consistent before I'm ready to crown this a done deal, that there are big four and that they're ready to carry this team throughout the rest of the season. Because, you know, yes, that's the case, that they do have to carry this team. But we've seen this group have nights where one steps up and one doesn't. And yeah, I think that's still going to be the case more often than not. They're still kind of figuring it out. But it was good to see against a strong team in Boston that they did click, that they did find a way to look at adversity. When Jaylen Brown knocked in that big shot before the end of regulation, they didn't crumble. I said to a friend of mine watching the game, I was like, oh, this does not feel good, because they had the momentum going into the end there. It looked like they were going to be able to steal the victory in regular time. And then all of a sudden, Brown hits that big shot. Boston feels like they could have the momentum going there at home. They could get the ref's whistle on their side. But no, Jimmy Butler carried them and they did a great job. So I to the overall question, I'd like to see it a little bit more consistent, but I think they are trending in the right direction. And that's all you can hope for after a slow start to the year.
28 points for Bam, 26 points for Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, 20 points, Jimmy Butler, 25 points, 15 rebounds, and the dagger mid-range jumper in overtime. What I liked about it was, obviously, you brought Jimmy Butler back. Now you're able to play so much more man-to-man. They actually didn't have Jimmy guard Jason Tatum the way that I think everybody expected. They still had Caleb Martin mostly guarding Tatum. But just having Jimmy there to be able to switch and just do all the Jimmy Butler things defensively that he's able to do, it just it opened up the entire defense. You went from playing this like sort of this like tricky smoke and mirrors zone thing out of they had to go to there because they didn't have the defenders to play man to man. You're finally able to get out of this kind of weird scheme and play real man up face to face defense against the Celtics. And what I, despite it going to overtime and you know, the numbers being inflated scoring wise in overtime, it was a rock fight that entire game. They turned that game into a rock fight. Jason Tatum was not the 49-point guy from Wednesday's game. He struggled overall because they were able to just play real defense. And to be able to see this group turn this Celtics game into a rock fight again, the way that they were able to, that's how they competed in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Was they were able to turn that series into a rock fight for the most part. And that's how the Heat are going to win against the Celtics. And so to see this big four do it again, that to me was the most inspiring thing of it, of having them back, is that, okay, this is their identity. Whether or not they all score 20 plus points in a night, 99 out of Miami's 120 points in that game, whether or not they keep doing that, who cares? But the fact that they were able to establish their identity so quickly, this is, they haven't played together since November 1st prior to Friday night. What
Unbelievable.
Was it, like 80 minutes all season or something like that? It was so little time together. But obviously they played a ton last year. It's not like these guys are new to each other. So there's chemistry there. They know how they want to play. And I think we also started to see some of the things we wanted to see in terms of evolution. Bam Adebayo took 18 or 19 shots in the game. Tyler Hero took, I think, 6 3-pointers in the game. These are the kinds of things that Kyle Lowry was involved in the offense instead of being a bystander off to the side. Like, these are all the things that we wanted to see. So if they can keep doing it that way, I'm not so worried about the quantitative part of it, right? The overall scoring numbers, as much as the qualitative part of it, how it looks, and if they can keep it looking smooth going forward.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Do people still have rock fights? I was curious. You mentioned that a couple of times there. Is that still a thing? I've never heard of anybody being involved in a rock fight.
I don't even know exactly where the term comes from. Is that what people did for fun before iPads and TikTok? Was like, you know, I'm bored. Let's just throw rocks at each other outside.
I can't see that being a great pastime. It's like, hey, the neighborhood's getting together for a rock fight. That'll take your eye out. I mean, shout out to the Christmas story here. But yes. I mean, a rock isn't going to be like something you can just brush off here. But I guess it's just.
There's so many levels before throwing rocks, too. Like, you could start with sticks. You could start with cotton balls, like sticks, shells. Like, I don't know.
Clubs? Because, like, sticks are, like, too small. Like, you're not really going to do much damage with that either. Like, a twig?
Yeah,
you know, I feel like it's just like you got whatever around in order for you to use that as a weapon. It's like, oh, I can't use this, I can't use that, but I do have some rocks around, and I'm going to use those in a deadly fashion. So I guess that's where it comes from.
Yeah, thank God for social media.
Can.
Now that we have,
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Thank God for social media. This is the pros. Now you don't have to have your kids go outside and throw rocks at each other. They could just sit and watch Puppy Patrol or something.
I Paw Patrol, first of all. And secondly, I don't think social media has replaced rock fighting in the cultural zeitgeist. But anyway.
That's true. Well, let's talk. Any other thoughts on the Big Four before we move on to like the rotation in general?
No, it was an interesting thing there. Again, I you brought up the chemistry. That's a good point. They do have some comfort level with one another. Three of the four do play defense at a high level. You have to shout out Tyler Hero. He did a pretty solid job defensively there. I like the fact that they all had like an even number of assists, 3, 3, 3, and 4 among them. So it was equal playmaking. And this is what the other level of this team looks like. When you look at a team like the Boston Celtics, they've got a superstar, maybe even a burgeoning one in Jaylen Brown. That's pretty impressive, and that'll certainly help you win games. But what carries Miami through the 82 games of the regular season is the fact that all these players step up, that there's versatility in that starting lineup. No overpowering performer in either Jimmy or Bam, the two most likely to do. Even Tyler, he'll have a 30-point game here and there. He's not going to crush your spirit the way Tatum did the other night with 49 points. That's just not the strength of his game.
Right,
he doesn't have the ball in his hands so equally.
Yeah, no, that's the formula, right?
I'm sorry?
No, that's the formula. Is you kind of have Bam being the anchor defensively, like that consistent through line through the entire game is Bam Adebayo anchoring the defense. Kyle Lowry doing all the smart things that he does on both ends. And if you're getting 20 points, even better. Tyler Hero sort of is the guy, the most consistent scorer for the Heat in terms of just like quarter by quarter scoring. And then you've got Jimmy Butler, who's obviously able to do the same thing, getting to the free throw line, et cetera. But he's your closer, right? He's the guy that shoots for the dagger, game winner kind of shot. And even though Tyler Hero, we've seen him do it at times, you really want Jimmy Butler doing it in those moments. And so that is the formula. In terms of playing like five out and everybody being able to handle the ball, this to me was the biggest difference between when you talk about the loss of PJ Tucker and including Caleb Martin in that starting lineup. You can look at this five-man, and by the way, putting Tyler Hero in that starting group over Duncan Robinson and then or even Max Strus, who, you know, Duncan and Max, they've done some stuff as playmakers, but they are not off the dribble threats the way that Tyler Hero is. You're not really worried about them attacking closeouts and beating you that way. You just want to run them off the three-point line. Tyler Hero, you're worried about beating you off the dribble. And so now with Tyler Hero and Caleb Martin in that starting group, you've got five guys who can credibly put the ball on the floor, attack closeouts, make things happen, play make for others. And you look at the smart teams, what they're doing across the NBA. Let's Boston, Utah, Toronto, varying degrees of success for sure. Golden State, Milwaukee, again, varying degrees of success for sure. But they all what all of them have in common is versatility in that starting five, not necessarily even five out, but just five guys who can play make and move the ball and stuff, which to me is even more valuable than five out. Because five out is just, all right, anybody can just stand around the perimeter and just pass the ball along until somebody wants to chuck up a three-pointer. This is actually moving around the arc, kind of cutting, slashing, driving, kicking, all
that
kind of stuff.
Boston's so good, to your point. It's what makes the Celtics such a strong team this year. And Miami did a different version of it, but a very potent one on Friday.
We have some rotation questions that we want to get to, including Haywood Highsmith. Plus, does the Boston win strengthen our confidence in the Heat going forward this season? But first, David, tell the listeners about Turo.
Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. Today's episode is brought to you by Turo. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, the UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions do apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. That's T-U-R-O.com.
Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get to this question from your pal Pete, who writes in, after watching the massive improvement of Bam and watching us challenge the Celtics these past two games, I agree no major trade is necessary, but Oladipo's health is now a major swing factor in winning a championship. What do y'all think? David, what do you think?
That is a very good question. It's hard to really gauge, and we kind of feel like prisoners of the moment here, even in asking the question or trying to answer it, because you saw how capable Miami was against a very good Boston team. And yes, you know, they were able to capitalize on a bad Tatum performance. So the Celtics fan will say, well, Tatum had an off night, but Brown went off. And so the converse of that is Miami saying, well, maybe Tatum had a bad night because, well, that's what Miami does. They were able to limit his touches, but he missed some wide open looks. The point being that Boston struggled, or at least their stars struggled, and Miami still barely eked out a win. So I don't know that I'm ready to crown Miami an overpowering,
but they were sort of in that. They hung in that game on Wednesday too. So if we take both games as a whole, you're missing Jimmy Butler for one of those games, and in that two game little mini baseball series that the NBA has incorporated into the schedule this year, you hung in with the best team in the NBA. You pretty much hung in there, right?
Yeah. So it's a good point. I think Miami is certainly a capable team. They were never as bad as they seemed. They struggled. They were struggling with chemistry. They were struggling with fit on the floor. They weren't sure how to incorporate Tyler. I think we've seen progress. I think we've seen evolution and growth. And having said all that, I don't know that you necessarily want to disrupt it. One, I don't think that there's a major trade ready to happen either. I don't think they're going to acquire Miles Turner. I don't think they're going to acquire De'Aaron Fox or any of the names that have been linked to Miami, Harrison Barnes, what have you. I just don't see that happening. A minor trade is still very much a possibility, and that, I think, feels much more realistic. And yes, as far as Victor Oladipo being a swing factor, I'd like to see what version of Victor. I've said it before, and I'll say it consistently now. I just don't know what to expect. I'm not ready to include Victor in any kind of long-term plans, even looking at just this season, because I don't know what we're going to get from him. He says he's healthy. He says he's feeling good. He says it's not going to be a recurring issue. That's great, but we've heard that kind of level of optimism from him before, and it hasn't exactly panned out. So I'd like to see what we get from Victor when he eventually makes his return. We haven't gotten a clear update yet on when that will be. But I think once he does come back, let's assume he is a version of what we saw from him last year. A defensive player, a guy who can put the ball down, attack the rim, swing the ball out to a willing shooter, open things up a little bit. Just be another versatile player who can add some spark to that offense and defense. If that's the case, then yes, it's great to have him back. I don't know that it necessarily swings Miami into an upper echelon in terms of contention either, though. I think it's just another great addition to have. Is this version of Victor, the one that we can anticipate, is that significantly better than, I don't know, Max or anybody else? Gabe Vincent?
It's a different player. It's a guy that, look, they wanted Victor Oladipo. The plan going into the year was he's going to be the sixth man. He's going to be what Tyler Hero was for the bench last year. Victor Oladipo is going to be for the bench this year. He's going to initiate offense. He's going to run high pick and roll and get into the paint and kick it out to Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. But without him, you've asked Max Strus to be more of a sixth man kind of playmaker guy, Gabe Vincent to be more of that kind of guy too, than probably that the Heat even wanted them to be, right? And so if you got Vic there, at least theoretically, it moves all the pieces into place, and now you actually have an identity that that second unit has so far lacked this season. I'll say this, though. like swing factor meaning what? You mentioned before, what can the expectations be for Victor Oladipo? If you think Victor Oladipo could be back at all-star status, then sure, he's a swing factor. Oh. You add an all-star to the Miami Heat, they're right up there with Boston and Milwaukee. That's not going to happen, though. I agree with you. Whether or not he can play like an all-star in limited minutes is a different thing than playing like an all-star all season long. And whether it's just he's not going to have that chance, he's not going to have that opportunity coming off the bench in limited minutes and all these and still dealing with whatever the long-term effects of this injury are going to be. We'll see. In terms of an update, like a specific update on Oladipo, he's practiced fully for the first time this past week with Miami. He was asked by reporters about this in Boston, like what his timetable is. He says he doesn't really have one. I think he was asked, you know, next week or two, what do you think? And even then he was like, I have no idea. So we don't, things are trending in the right direction for Vic, but we still have no idea when he's going to come back. I also just want to point out this question. Like, is this a question from a year ago? Like, it feels like the same thing that we were talking about last year. When Victor Oladipo comes back, that's the biggest swing factor. I wrote about this. He was the biggest X factor in the Eastern Conference playoffs because we had no idea what he was going to look like. And if he was anything close to what he could be from his all-star years in Indiana, then we're talking about a legit X factor, in the not just for the Heat, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And he kind of was a little bit in the playoffs. You know, he was a big factor for Miami in certain moments in the postseason. But I don't know, man. It's a half decade since he was on the All-NBA team. You know, he's 30 years old now. To have those kinds of expectations of him now, it seems unfair, not just to the Heat, but to Victor Oladipo himself. It's just let this guy get back on the court consistently before we start trying to figure out what it is that he can. I've said this time and time again. The best case for him is just being Andre Iguodala. Like what Andre Iguodala was over the last 10 years of Iggy's career, that's perfect. Like a guy who made all-star, like Iggy made all-star games in previous stops, but finds on you know, iffy kind of average teams, finds himself on a championship contender. He has to take a step back, come off the bench, take a smaller role, but he's also sort of a skeleton key for so many of their best lineups. And I feel like Oladipo could maybe have that kind of impact for Miami or for another team wherever he ends up finishing up his career if it's not Miami. So, you know, we'll see. He could be a helpful player. He would put guys in the right positions. But to consider him a swing factor for this team to the point where you don't have to make any moves, that to me seems a little like expecting a little bit too much of what he can do.
Yeah, I think the ultimate swing factor, we saw it on Friday, is just health and availability. And that, you know, that is perhaps an overly simplistic way of looking at it, but we've seen what this team can do. They're not going to be able to pull off that major trade. I just don't see it. We talked about this all year. Superstars just don't shake free out of nowhere, and Miami doesn't have the trade assets available in terms of draft picks or players that other teams want. Again, if you're looking at what teams want in exchange, either a star on the rise or a young player with a hell of a lot of potential or draft picks that become potential, Miami has really none of those things. Outside of Tyler Hero, and with that contract and extension that he's going to kicks into place next year, that's basically taking him off the table for all intents and purposes. Being the case, what are you going to trade for a star-level player? And so given that you're not going to be able to acquire a star, you're talking about just another role player, one that you have to incorporate, assimilate, have them find their role. Miami's coaching is good enough where they can take a role player and say, this is what you do best. This is how you will fit into this lineup and this rotation in order to contribute to wins. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen overnight. There's just no trade that's automatically going to become a player that fits in and contributes to impactful winning. I just don't see that happening. And so you're looking at the roster as currently comprised, and that's going to be it for the rest of the season for the most part. I mean, if you're,
I don't know. I think the other trade that you left out was the shuffling deck chairs kind of trade where one team has just got some things that they want to move around. That might be, I do think that the Heat will make some kind of trade by the end of the year. One of the guys that I thought that I have no idea. I just think that this won't be the roster that finishes out the season. One of the guys that was sort of involved in those trade talks, not really in terms of a core piece, but maybe, hey, we can waive him, create another roster spot to go find somebody else, was Haywood Highsmith. But the way that Highsmith has played recently, I don't know that you could just waive him and kind of get some sort of immediate improvement. Jay Crowder getting bought out and something like that notwithstanding. Like, Haywood Highsmith has played himself not just maybe into a roster spot.
Are you buying it?
I don't know that I'm buying it. It's tough because everything that you and I heard from Summer League and then training camp and all this, hey, watch out for Haywood Highsmith. Everybody kept, watch out for Highsmith. Don't even, I know everybody's penciling in Caleb Martin as the starting four. Highsmith is competing for that job in the Bahamas. Like, look out for Highsmith. And then he got out to a really slow start.
He told us he wanted to be a starter.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to be a realistic option.
The way that he played in Vegas and in Summer League, it felt like he was sort of the next Max Strus guy that comes out of nowhere, kind of grabs a rotation spot. But then he started the season off really slow, had a rough preseason. But he's come along strong. This Boston series was a really good one for him. You look at their top nine. We know the starting five. Deadman's the main backup for Bam while Yurtseven's still injured. Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, they're going to play every single night off the bench. And then it's Haywood Highsmith. He's over Jamal Kane. He's over Nikola Jovic. He's over everybody else, Duncan Robinson even. It feels like he's gotten minutes over those guys. It feels like Highsmith's the ninth guy, for better or worse, right now. I don't know that I buy it long term, but look, he's a biggish wing on this roster. They kind of need a guy like that off the bench, especially with Caleb Martin starting. So I think it makes sense right now.
Did a good job defensively on Tatum.
He did.
I mean, those performances on Friday night in particular, that's a strong selling point for why he might be a factor. And look, yeah, the three-point shot's going to be wonky, but he's understood now over the course of the in-season adjustment. And we had this conversation last year about Max Strus. Max, you know, everybody now kind of sees, oh, Max is vital. He's important because he's had big games and he started in the playoffs and things of that sort. He was an afterthought at the start of last year. Like, nobody saw Max Strus in the roster and was like, oh, this is a guy that's going to step up. Yeah, he had the big summer league game or whatever. But that didn't translate into the start of the regular season. He was coming off the bench. He was okay. And then he made adjustments. He improved his defense, knocked down that three-point shot, showed a little versatility as a playmaker, and it worked out for him. I think Highsmith is next in line in that regard.
In terms of trades, December 15th is the day where most free agents who signed over the summer are eligible to get traded. I'm pretty sure Victor Oladipo can't get traded until January 15th because of the Bird rights situation. When you extend with Bird rights or re-sign with Bird rights, it's a different deadline for those guys. But Oladipo, if he comes back, we'll look at it maybe a month-ish, like probably best case, a month of sample size to see, okay, between then and January 15th, is this something that we can maybe move around, shuffle deck chairs, like I said before, and maybe do something there. Otherwise, Highsmith has got a month to kind of latch on to this job and prove that he's a consistent sort of ninth, tenth man in the rotation. I think the Heat can make a minor move. To Pete's question, do you have enough confidence in this? I don't think this team, as currently constructed, can win the championship. I don't think they have really a chance. But to take a page out of your book, David, maybe it doesn't really matter. Maybe the championship doesn't really matter right now. And if this team could compete for 46-7 wins and then kind of be a plucky playoff team, maybe there's enough reason to just say, you know what, let's just do that unless a big star kind of swing becomes available, which right now it's not, and let's just hold on to our assets for when that opportunity comes up. And anything below that, though, we're not going to move a draft pick to just go from like a 46-win team to a 50-win team that still is going to lose in the playoffs. Like, to me, like, does John Collins even help that much? Probably not, right? Maybe it's more of a minor shuffling deck chairs, go get a real power forward for the rotation kind of thing, sort of move. But even like I at this point, you have about a month to kind of get your bearings on this team and say, all right, what are we really here now that we've got these guys back? We've got our big four here. We're starting to figure out the rotation. Guys are getting healthier. What is this team really? I think they've bought themselves some time to figure that part of it out.
I'm gonna brush back a little bit on the they can't win. I think they can. I really do think
the championship.
They can. I think. Look, again, maybe it's overstating. I know they exceeded expectations last year, but that's just been the MO for this version of this team because of how they play. Because they've been relying on a death by a thousand cuts. Right. It's not a big knockout punch or anything like that. It's just, well, who steps up tonight? Is it Jimmy? Is it Tyler? Is it Bam? Is it Kyle? Getting contributions from Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Haywood Highsmith, et cetera. That's just who they are. This version of this team isn't going to overpower you that way, but they can still find a way to win. They won a lot of games last year. They can, now that they're seemingly back on track, start to build momentum. Look, this could all be an afterthought. The whole start to the season is sluggish and terrible and disconnected, cacophonous as it was. By the end of this month, they could win, I don't know, 10 out of 12, 13 games. And we're all kind of looking at, oh, remember that start? It'll be in the rearview mirror. We'll all forget it. They could contend for a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. Maybe they don't have the right talent, but Cleveland is slipping. Atlanta is slipping. The top of the Eastern Conference is set in Milwaukee and Boston.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I mean, I don't see Philadelphia with their injury issues, Cleveland going through their struggles right now. I don't see any team in the East. Indiana is not going to likely contend at this level throughout the rest of the season. Like, no team there is clearly better than Miami. And if Miami gets a chance in the playoffs, just as they have the last few seasons, they've got as good a chance as anybody. Yes, they have to capitalize on good luck, playing hard as always, and perhaps an injury or two in their favor. That being the case, if they get those opportunities, we know what this team is capable of because they've done that over the last 3 years with Jimmy Butler on the roster.
I'd love for you to be right. With all this Big Four talk, with all this Big Four talk, one report indicates that the Heat are open to trading one of these members of the Big Four. We'll break down that rumor next. But first, today's episode of Locked On Heat is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs, information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, they have it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Looking at the line for tonight's game in Memphis, the Heat are actually getting even odds against a good Grizzlies team on the road. That, to me, is a sign of deferential. That's a sign of respect for the Miami Heat and maybe what they've done recently against Boston and getting their guys back, having Jimmy Butler back. Just this being even odds, that's a pretty good deal for the Heat. If you love the Heat in this matchup, or maybe you love the Grizzlies in this matchup, it's even odds right now. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Rick Bucher of Fox Sports says that the Heat are open to trading Kyle Lowry, saying that other guys like Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler off the table, right? That's not a surprise, but that they could be open to trading Kyle Lowry. Are you buying or selling this report, David?
I am selling it. I am not buying it whatsoever. I think for a lot of factors. One, I think Kyle is still a good player even at this point in time. I know that a lot of his detractors among the Heat fan bases, again, to our point consistently throughout the show, he's not a great player. Miami may not have a great player aside from Jimmy Butler and the potential of what Bam and Tyler can do on occasion. Nobody that's going to be a consistent MVP type player that you're saying, oh, he's a top five player in the league, clearly outright. Kyle's certainly not that guy. He's getting paid a lot of money for what he does do well. Play defense, make plays, run the offense, bring veteran leadership, a voice that has some power in that locker room, aside from a Udonis Haslam or even Jimmy Butler. These are the kinds of things that you need to have as a team that is looking to go on a deep playoff run. So that aside, I think Kyle's a great player or a good player, a very, very good player,
yep.
Perhaps a role player, but I don't know that any team is willing to take on that salary at this point too. And moreover, I don't think Miami's looking at what he does provide and saying they can get an upgrade over that. What are the players that are available that provide an upgrade? A starting level point guard,
right,
that matches salary that you're going to be able to bring back. You're not going to trade him for Fred VanVleet. Toronto's not going to do that.
No, of course not. No. There's two names that I think the other team would be willing to kind of entertain. And that'd be like if Dallas, I think Dallas would trade Spencer Dinwiddie for Kyle Lowry in a heartbeat. I don't think the Heat would do that. That makes no sense. Spencer Dinwiddie's not nearly as good of a player as Lowry is. And then the other one would be D'Angelo Russell in Minnesota. Expiring contract. Feels like it's Anthony Edwards' backcourt. That's a team in dire need of some real leadership in that locker room, which we know Kyle Lowry provides. But why would the Heat trade Lowry for D'Angelo Russell? Now you've got two negatives defensively in that backcourt, two guys who need the ball, another guy in D'Angelo Russell. I think D'Angelo Russell has been better defensively than he was in Golden State or in previous stops in Brooklyn and LA.
The bar was low.
But the bar, to your point, is very low. But, you know, that those are the two names. That's not really doing it for the Miami Heat. I don't think that you could, you know, maybe some people say, trade Kyle Lowry for a power forward and then start Gabe Vincent. I don't think Gabe Vincent is ready to be a starter. Not at point guard, not in today's NBA. You're asking a whole lot of him. He's been inconsistent coming off the bench as a backup point guard. So, look, I think that this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'll also say this, in terms of just the report, and this is no offense to Rick Bucher and whatever, but this is one of those fake reports that just sort of come out at this time. If you have two guys who are untouchable in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, then it goes without saying that literally everybody else on the roster, the team is open to trading. If the Brooklyn Nets said, you know what, we're kind of done with Kevin Durant, we'll just take Kyle Lowry for him, then yeah, you're open then to trading Kyle Lowry. That's what it means to not be untouchable, is that there is a price for every player. Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, Max Strus, Caleb Martin, name the player. All of them, the Heat are open to trading by virtue of them not being untouchable. This doesn't mean that the Heat are aggressively calling other front offices and shopping Kyle Lowry. I know a lot of fans will read this stuff and not know the difference between aggressively shopping and open to trading and all these kinds of things. The language in this kind of reporting is so important. This as we get to December 15th and on to the mid-February trade deadline, pay attention to the language in the reporting. When you really read the language that's used, you'll really understand what is smoke, what is fire, what is real, what is not, what you should be buying, and what you should be selling. This is one of these reports that is a real report in that it is true that the Heat are open to trading Kyle Lowry by virtue of him not being untouchable. Everybody has a price. That's what this language is means. The Heat are open to trading Kyle Lowry. That means that it might just be simply mean that they're willing to take a phone call. Another team, hey, what would you want for Kyle Lowry? We're offering you Spencer Dinwiddie. No. Does that mean that the Heat were open just because they asked a follow-up question?
They discussed his name. He was discussing talks.
It's this, okay, yeah, discussed and talks is another good one. Another one of those fake report reports.
Yeah, they were discussed.
Yeah. The Heat are seeking an upgrade at power forward. No bleep, right? What does that mean? Like, it doesn't... So just be careful of language here. Be careful of language
here. He even mentions it. He kind of hedges his bets a little bit in the report itself. He says, yeah, but they're not going to find a great upgrade over Lowry at this point. It's like, yeah, no kidding. So, and they're not going
to
find
a lot of takers. He is sort of the ideal point guard to have next to Tyler Hero. Tyler needs the ball, right? For better or worse, Tyler needs the ball. So does Jimmy and Bam, by the way. You don't really want, like, a point guard in there, a modern, sort of these modern score-first point guards who's going to, like... That's going to come in and need the ball because it's going to take away from what Jimmy and Bam and Tyler do. But also you need somebody who can defend as well as Kyle Lowry does. You need somebody who could switch the way that Kyle Lowry does in order for Miami to execute its team. Kyle Lowry theoretically is sort of the perfect point guard for the Miami Heat. Now, if you could have gotten Kyle Lowry circa 2017, now we're really talking. Yeah. But we have even Kyle Lowry at this age, at 36 going on 37. That's still, there's not a whole lot of guys in terms of fit better for what it is that Miami wants to do on both ends.
And
so,
he's been really good.
He's been
too
good for Miami this year. He's been really good.
He's been good. He's like played a lot of minutes. He's played a lot of games. Like this was the exact opposite of what he was last year. And now all of a sudden everybody's like, no, I'm done with him. It's like,
sell high. Maybe you're selling high on him. Maybe they would do Kevin Durant for Kyle Lowry straight up, you know?
Yep. Yeah, Kyrie Irving and Kyle on that same roster. That seems like the Minnesota thing is interesting because we've seen Pat Riley in the past. Like that's kind of like where he's banishing you to the nether regions of the NBA. Like, is that a clear punishment there? Like, yes. We won't want you on the roster. Like, Kyle would have to go and take a dump on Pat Riley's desk in order for him to be like just banished to Minnesota. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, like even if the Lakers called and said, hey, one of those 2027, 2029 unprotected picks for Lowry and Duncan Robinson.
That's interesting, right?
It's interesting, but I don't think that the Heat are at the point yet to sell off a starting point guard for a draft pick that they might not be able to use while Pat Riley is still in control of this team. Like, I don't understand. Like, the Heat aren't in that. If they want to do the rebuild thing, that is a great way to sort of launch that rebuild and get a really valuable asset back, whether or not you end up using that pick in 2027 and 2029 or trading it because it's such a valuable asset before then. So that's a great deal if the Heat want to rebuild, but they are not close to that point right now. This is a team that's still, I think, looking to buy, not a team looking to sell between now and the trade deadline. For better or worse, you could disagree, whatever you want, but that's to me where I think that this Heat team just... where they are in their minds right now is just kind of wait and see. Let's get these guys back healthy. What is this big for, really? We got about a month, month and a half to really kind of look at it, and then we can make some decisions from there.
Agreed.
Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. The Miami Heat take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight in Memphis. David and I will be back here for a recap of that game later tonight for your next listen. Check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. David, talk to you later.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.